Hey, I'm Curious City intern, Linnea Dominic. After the heaviness of the news cycle the past few weeks, we're bringing you a fun answer to a question that a five-year-old asked back in 2015. And later, you'll hear my conversation with her in 2020. But first, WBEZ reporter Shannon Heffernan has the answer to the question, what happens when you flush the toilet in Chicago?
When did we start thinking about that? Kind of around the time when you were first learning how to use the potty, I think.
That's Emily Hendel. Her daughter Satchel was a little shy when she first met us and occupied coloring. She thought maybe all the poop went to a big tank somewhere in their house.
Where do you think the tank might be?
In the basement.
Now, before you tune out and think, I know this one. I'm no five-year-old. I want you to stop and think. Do you really? Because it's actually kind of important. Ever since humans settled in big cities, it's been a problem we had to face. Where do we put the poop? Because if you don't deal with it, people are gonna get sick. And dealing with millions and millions of gallons of poo, it's a complicated task. So today, we walk you and Emily and Satchel through the highlights of what happens after you flush. You'll hear them react to what we learned, starting from their house.
Could you maybe show us where your toilet is? Could we start with that and we can look at the pipes and maybe try to start tracking it from that spot?
Mm-hmm, just a minute.
So see that when you flush it, it goes down here, it goes into the pipes. But come with me, we'll show you where that goes after that. All that water flows out and it goes to pipes that run down the middle of the street.
Those pipes go to one of seven different sewage plants run by the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago. One of those plants, Stickney, is just southwest of the city. I talked to Reed Dring, the head of operations at Stickney. If he needs to, he can process a million gallons of sewage in a minute.
So I can do in a minute what an average-sized treatment plant does in a day.
He says his plant takes up 400 acres, the size of 302 football fields. It's the biggest sewage plant in the world.
We are number one in the number two business.
Number two.
Egg poop is number two and pee is number one.
Right. Yeah.
Once the sewage gets to the plant, the first step is to go through the coarse screens. The screens are there to stop really big things from getting into the sewage plant, like branches or pieces of concrete. Remember, it's not just what we flush that ends up in the plant. It's rainwater and all the stuff that washes off the streets and into the sewers. Reed Dring says they've found all kinds of things.
Fish, turtles.
How did turtles get in there? They're so big. It's big.
A bowling ball. We had a bowling ball come in.
Whoa.
Whoa. That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Well, our sewer crew found a prosthetic leg. We've seen money. Whenever there's a storm, a lot of guys like to work near the coarse screens because money comes up on the conveyors.
The next step is pretty simple, the settling tanks. And here things, well, settle. Solids sink to the bottom. Fats and oils float to the top. Big scrapers come along and take both away to a landfill. The clean water in the middle flows into a big tank.
Bigger than the Willis Tower?
Maybe not as big as the Willis Tower, but as big as your house.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like much is happening in this big tank, but there is a whole world of microorganisms below the surface. The woman who looks at the microorganisms is Toni Glimpf Martin. She calls these microorganisms bugs.
And a lot of people ask us, where do we get the bugs from? Well, when you flush the toilet, when it rains, all of that brings in this millions and millions of microorganisms to the treatment system. But what we do here is we provide an environment for a particular type of microorganism.
Remember, sewage can make us sick. It's full of all kinds of nasty stuff like bacteria and viruses. But not all microorganisms are bad for us. In fact, most of the bugs in this tank eat the stuff that can hurt us. And it's Glimpf Martin's job to keep the helpful ones happy. She spends her day counting, literally, one by one, the different types of bugs.
Look, because we have a little counter here, so you can go, this is amoebas, flagellates, free swimmers, crawlers.
This gives her clues, tells her if they need to make adjustments to keep the microorganisms in balance. She gave us a video of one of her favorites.
This one's called a water bear.
What?
Yeah. It's kind of cute, right? A little snout.
Oh, it's so cute.
And so when she sees these guys in the water, she's like, okay, our water's doing okay.
they're a good indicator to have in the system because they're very sensitive to ammonia and toxicity. And so if we see them thriving in the system, then it means that the water is relatively clean.
So after all the microorganisms have removed most of the bad stuff, the water is sent to the river system. But there's still some stuff left over. Solids. We are going to skip a few steps here. Basically, what you need to know is that solids get dried out and go through another round of microorganisms. Eventually, one of the places the solids can end up is in a compost pile.
Compost?
Compost. Do you have
a compost bin?
You do. And what happens in your compost bin? What do you know about compost?
It gets stinky.
Sometimes it gets stinky.
Compost gets stinky at the stickney plant, too. I learned this during a tour with soil scientist Lockvinder Handel. He shows me gigantic, I mean gigantic, piles of compost.
Oh, yeah, it's like a spectrum of stink here. Right. The farther I go along, the more stink.
Yeah, because now it's early in the process.
The faraway piles are newer and smellier. Nearby, the piles have been sitting for months. As they sit, they get hot, and it kills off some of the harmful stuff. The result is a super rich compost called biosolids. There's actually this big, beautiful greenhouse right in the middle of the sewage plant. It's full of orchids and lush grass. Here, Handel tests how well the plants do in biosolids.
Nature is the best way of recycling everything. You can see here we are growing some spinach.
Biosolids from Chicago are already being spread on golf courses and parks. In fact, one day, the district says Chicagoans might be able to buy it for their gardens. The district says the biggest challenge to selling biosolids will be the ick factor. No one wants to think about poop when they smell their garden flowers. But if someone isn't thinking about it, taking care of the pipes and the tanks, the microbes, the compost, then the rest of us wouldn't be able to flush and forget.
Satchel, next time you poop, I want you to think about this, okay?
I will.
Thanks to Shannon Heffernan for that reporting. Today you got the highlights of the Chicago sewer system. If you want even more, we have a pretty fantastic interactive animation on the website at wbez.org/curiouscity. And you can go on a virtual tour of one of the plants. Register at mwrd.org/facility-and-virtual-tours. If you didn't catch that, it's mwrd.org/facility-and-virtual-tours. Additionally, since the story ran in 2015, the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District now makes biosolid compost available for the public. Go to their website to learn how to purchase your own treated poop for your backyard. And Satchel Lang is now 11. I thought it would be neat to catch up with her and see if now that she's older, she thinks about some of the deeper issues to this story, like water conservation and care of the environment. But I started with something a little more personal. I'm wondering what it's like for you to hear your 5-year-old self on the radio.
Weird.
And on the radio talking about poop.
It doesn't really matter to me. 5-year-old self probably doesn't care. Neither does 11-year-old me.
She says she's still interested in the question she asked 5 years ago because it's useful to know how things work.
And so, you know, like different things that like toilet is actually doing and where it's sending it to. I think that's just kind of cool to know overall.
What do you think about water conservation?
I mean, toilets do use a lot of water, which I don't know if there's really much we could do, but I usually try to take about 5-minute showers. And I think it's because there's like not a lot of fresh water on the earth. So I think it's good.
She says she's trying to reduce and reuse as much as possible.
I build some stuff out of just cardboard that you get out of the recycling.
It's hard to throw away a cardboard box in our house or recycle a cardboard box in our house because she usually grabs it and wants to use it to make it into something.
That's her mom, Emily Hendel.
But yeah, she's been making vending machines lately.
Yes, and different machines that you have to like, you can only use them with a coin or something that have a lot of mechanical engineering things.
Cool. Out of cardboard boxes?
Yes, and other materials like popsicle sticks and hot glue. Lots of hot glue.
I ask her why thinking about the environment is important to her.
Because we live on the planet and we don't got another planet, so probably best to keep this one pretty nice.
Totally. Can we put that on a bumper sticker? I think that's a great slogan.
Best to keep this one pretty nice.
Best to keep this one pretty nice.
Next week, we'll be debuting our new podcast format. We're excited to share it with you. Support for Curious City comes from the Conant Family Foundation. I'm Linnea Dominic.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Thanks for listening to the news live on WBEZ and NPR. The WBEZ stream sounds great in the kitchen on your smart speaker and anywhere on the WBEZ app. Listen every day.